Welcome to Highway Diary. I'm your host, Eric Hollerbach. Thank you for joining me for an explosive, very special episode. You know, some episodes, like Jeff McCormick, you know, I get him in, we record straight through, it's all gold, I upload it. Some podcasts require very special attention, editing, a whole collage of stories. This is an intriguing story, this episode. It's about ego, stand-up, power, jokes, roasting, and insulting, and there's a lot of intrigue. This is the story about how I got banned from Hi-Ho, but let me back up a bit. More importantly, this is a story about who gets offended when you get ribbed. I tend to do that a lot when I'm doing stand-up. I always make fun of the host. I wonder if I have a montage laying around of people I've insulted.
Keep it going, Ben Hoffman holding it down. He's got the most amount of hair and still is a twink, considered, you know? On the edge of that fucking Venn diagram there.
Amsterdam Cafe, I love Amelia, I love your blowjob. If a chick stops a blowjob because she got a tweet from her fucking Krispy Kreme app, you're getting a blowjob from a fat chick, bro. Just that's what the math is on that.
Yup.
Keep it going for your host, Benjamin Hoffman. Keeping it together. He looks like a hipster vegan Jesus. He's doing a good job for you.
One outside, you're creeping this out, Louise. You're the sexual harassment. As soon as you got the, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. It's ridiculous. You don't use Craigslist. Louise uses Megan's Law to hook up with people.
John Rowe, hold it down. Louise, the cat that he had, this shit. And he's gonna get his white woman. Bobby Hitman's. Keep it going, Paul Oswell. He's so adorable and British and stuff. He told me his job was anything in England, I believe him. If he was like, I was an aviator, I believe you. There's a certain authority there.
And put your hands together for Eric Hollerbach.
Ben Hoffman. He's the right kind of like twink that you want to tickle. He's a tickle twink.
Oh, I did have a montage. Most people are cool with me insulting them, and they appreciate it, because among comics, we have a camaraderie where we bust each other's balls. That is until I rolled into the Hi-Ho mic, but before the Hi-Ho mic happened, you have to sign up a list, and then we are gathered for a comic meeting. And then something interesting was said by the person who runs the comedy meeting, at the Hi-Ho, Andrew Polk. And here's a conversation with me and John Rowe.
Okay, just for a clarification of fact, okay, I'm as a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Did Andrew Polk at the beginning of that show say, hey, me and Duncan Pace, we are going to run this show. We are your comedy gods. We are funnier than you.
Yes, he said it with humor, but maybe he believes it.
Did he say we're your comedy gods and we're funnier than you?
He didn't say, yeah, he does refer to himself as God frequently.
Do you think maybe we should catch and be like, oh wait a minute, he's a sociopath? Like, at what level is Andrew Polk a sociopath?
Well, sociopaths do run the world.
Right. So I got banned from the high. I'm just kind of recapping a little bit, getting some people on the street.
You wouldn't be president if you wasn't a sociopath.
So I wrote some jokes, and I took to the stage a little nervous. This is the first thing I'm ever saying about Andrew Polk. I know he's kind of sensitive. He's an egomaniac. So I'm thinking, if I just write some jokes about him and say them, and he thinks that they're funny, then he'll start booking me for stuff. And I took the stage.
Everybody. Your next comedian, very funny, we are glad to have him here. Anybody know who the next comedian is? I have no idea. Okay, just kidding. He's one of my greatest friends.
fantastic comedian. He's got a podcast called The Highway Diaries. You can download it on iTunes. Let's welcome Eric Holler back.
My best friend in the world, keep it going, Andrew Pohl. We do lunches, it's great. It's like a little bromance. He didn't look like that when I first met him. He like went in a tweed sweater one day, and now he's like a bigger hipster, so I don't know. Pretty soon he'll just be a mustache coming out of a beanie, just tweeting his vegan lunches at obscure music venues and shit. Get there, my best friend. It's almost a twink or something. If he was, I'm not saying he did it, but if he did, he would be a twink. I don't judge. I'm not going to slut shame him right now.
At this moment, the light starts to go, and I'm confused because I'm supposed to have 4 minutes, and I've been on stage for 35 seconds. So I've started like stuttering here, and that's why. And so I kind of stumble out of the stage.
Okay. So anyway, I shouldn't make fun of anybody. I have like a Jewish grandma voice that everybody's trying to fucking adjust to right now, you know? All right, Smoke Pop and Worship Aliens. I've been Eric Kalabok. Thank you very much.
After that happened, I turned my recorder off, and Andrew Pohl came backstage furious at me. Addie Najira was backstage too. She can fact-check everything I'm saying. I sent her a transcript of the dialogue. She didn't get back to me.
I'm good friends with a guy called Jeremy Allen. He has the same voice as Andrew Polk, so I had him reenact with me the exact transcript of what happened backstage between me and Andrew Polk.
Hey, what the fuck was that? I introduce you as my friend and you rip into me? You try to make me look bad on my fucking show?
Just busting your balls, isn't that what comics do all the time?
I don't know you, dude.
I did that same joke to Ben Hoffman. I called him a twink. He thought it was hilarious.
Ben Hoffman is a pussy.
Okay.
Do you know why I haven't booked you for Comedy Beast yet? Because you're not funny. You're not fucking funny.
I heard some people laughing and stuff. Is that why you're mad?
Do you know about social interaction? I'm done talking to you right now. I'm done fucking talking.
You don't want to get a coffee sometime and talk about this like gentlemen?
I don't fucking like you. Please, go away and don't come back.
Okay.
You have to understand, that's the one person I've been trying to impress for 4 months, and he was screaming at my face, "You're not fucking funny, you're not fucking funny," etc., etc. So, you know, dejected, embittered, I kind of reorganized my thoughts. And in moments like this, I'm very motivated. So I took to the stage in Siberia last night and blew off some steam.
This dude is a fucking rebel. He just got banned from a comedy show that they do across the street. That's how fucking badass he is. And he's here for y'all tonight. So put your hands together right noise. Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise for Mr. Eric Holabert!
Corey Mack! We also have burlesque in the show. I think the comics and the burlesque dancers should collaborate. I mean, we should fuck. Please fuck me, one of the burlesque dancers. Please, I'm begging. So I just moved to New Orleans. I love New Orleans. I love you guys, you know. But you got your particular people. There's certain people out here I haven't met before in Jersey or anywhere, you know. You got the real party monsters, you know what I mean? Kind of chubby girl who's all like partied out, you know? I'm not judging people, I'm just saying people I've seen around. You're like, are you 45? They're like, I'm 20. You're like, fuck. You have a party car. There's that butt voice, blah, blah, blah. I swear to God, this is a real quote from a local party monster, okay? I've never heard this quote from anyone in my life. She says, "Oh my God, I almost stopped drinking because I ran out of fucking cigarettes." That's what she said. The consequence was not even reached. She didn't even stop drinking. What a non-story, you party monster. I was kicked out of Hi-Ho last night. I was banned. Can't go back there, I'm banned. Apparently, so here's what happened. The previous week, okay?
Tell us.
I'm telling you right now. Here's what happened. Here's how you get yourself banned from fucking High Hub. High Horse. Here's how you get banned. Sorry, I thought I got the light, but I think someone took a photograph because I'm really bringing the heat right now. Okay, here's how you get banned. Yeah, after the show, he goes, hey, give it up for him. He's got the Highway Diary podcast, but who wants to listen to a 90 minutes of a Jewish grandma voice? Not me, you know? I thought that was funny. The crowd laughed. You know, I love busting balls, so I'm thinking, this guy's not booking me for shows and shit. Let me bust his balls. I go, give it up for Andrew Polk. He keeps metamorphosizing into a bigger hipster. Last week, he went into his tweed sweater. He metamorphosized. Pretty soon, he's just going to be a mustache out of a beanie. Instagramming vegan meals at obscure music venues. He's got to go all the way to that. And I'm not saying he's a twink. I'm not, but if he was in a gay porno, he would be the twink, okay? I'm not, these are rumors, okay? I'm not slut-shaming him right now. These are rumors I've heard. All right. I've been writing furiously today. Because I got kicked out of Hi-Ho yesterday. He freaks out. He's like, I'll never book you in this town again. I own this shit. But you can say anything to me. I don't understand being offended. You could say to me, you know, your ma had a heart attack sucking dicks. That's true. She did. And I'm proud of her. At her age, she's going to town. Arteries are exploding in her chest. That's how good my mom sucks dick. I love my mom. I'm like, Mom, come up for air every now and then. You're gonna kill yourself. But she's a craftswoman. I haven't got a blowjob for my mom, but if I did, it wouldn't even be incest, okay? It would just be like being served a fine meal by a tactician. Just be like, wow, the experience. My senses are alert. I love my mom! There's nothing you can say that I will be offended about. So here's how you get kicked out of High Hub. All right?
I want to meet your mama.
She'll blow everyone in the room. Line her up. Hey, what's the difference between a glory hole and a firing squad? For an execution, you know? At a glory hole, everyone's got a full clip. I'm saying I'm hearing rumors. I'm not slut-shaming the guy. I'm hearing...
Oh.
Here we go. All right. I was expecting more of a laugh, and I did the dance, and no one did laugh, so I feel like a real fucking jackass right now. Okay. So... No, I understand this scam. I respect him. Look, I respect him, okay? He books a lot of shows, Andrew Polk. I respect him a lot, you know? He has comics in, Louis C.K. stops by his show, that's great. And then they get on a plane, and they go home, and he's running the open mic at fucking High Hub.
Oh.
And I'm banned, okay? All right, shit's getting real. I've been writing furiously. A lot of this is anger. There's some jokes. Okay, here we go. But I understand this scam, you know? He's like, he did an underwear show. People were doing comedy in their underwear. He had John Rowe on the show, he's 23. He had Anthony Scontrino, he's 25. You know, he had Luke Uwinjunk, who's 23. By John Rowe, he like jerked off 4 times. He couldn't even come. He was beating off dead dick, going, it'll be funny, we'll do it in our underwear. Saying he's running a scam over there, okay? I know the scam. I'm telling you what's going on in the scene right now, okay? I'm giving you the landscape. I'm not gonna fall for that. Look, they're running that scam across the street, okay? They try to do it, and then he looks at your ding-a-dong. I'm not slut-shaming the guy. I'm hearing rumors. Smoke pot worship aliens. I've been Eric Hollenbach. I got banned from fucking Hi-Ho. I love you guys. I love Siberia. Stay hard with him, man.
I'm just saying, if you punch somebody, you expect to get punched back. That's all I'm saying.
Talking to me like, I didn't do anything.
I'm just saying, nigga.
I just walked out to get some air.
Corey's going on, Corey Mack.
What's happening, boss?
How's it going?
I'm cooler, man. How you
doing? This ain't running. It's not.
I don't fucking care.
Is your guy,
dude, I'm not afraid of anybody in this fucking.
Corey Mack, what do you think?
I ain't afraid of nobody.
What do I think about it? I thought your joke was hilarious. You know
what? Have you encountered any similar experiences or anything like that?
It's funny. See, one day you're gonna have to take questions like this, Corey.
Nobody,
man.
You know what? I didn't have to deal with any shit. But just you know, sometimes people just don't, you know, speak to me. Well, sometimes, you know, not all comedians speak to me. I'm not. Not everybody likes me, but I don't expect anybody to. I'm gonna say like my grandma said, baby, they kill Jesus, baby. So just be ready, baby. No matter what you do, people not gonna like you.
I didn't like the shit, is all I'm saying.
What?
I'm saying as a comedian, you should have your stage time. You shouldn't be afraid. You shouldn't be afraid to say anything. Like, you know, I mean, within a certain limit, but you definitely didn't cross that limit. Within a certain limit. And that limit's been closing in this day and age, too, the limit of where you can say shit, right?
People have always been offended. It's not a new word.
Mm-hmm.
What? The word offended is not a new word.
Jason, D, you're going to be on the podcast in a little bit.
That's true.
How do you say your last name again? It's with a...
Dormady.
Dormady, that's right.
And it's just speculation. Just trying to... eliminate people. Maybe, I don't really know. Maybe it's born out of insecurity. To
eliminate? What does that mean? Get rid of them? Like the Holocaust?
No, like get rid of people in the scene. Like this person doesn't deserve to attempt to do what we do because we're trying to protect this scene. He doesn't have the right, based on my own personal judgment, which to a certain extent is... Like, who is going to be the end-all, be-all ruler of comedy in New Orleans? Who is that person? Is it a person who runs an open mic? Should it be that person? Probably not.
Let's join the search. Where are you going?
Thing's acid.
Where are you going, Vince?
That thing's literally, you're holding a cannon.
I sent him that message on Facebook.
Hey, buddy. Anytime you want to come on my podcast and have a friendly chat... You have an open invitation. Thumbs up, emoticon.
And then he blocked me. And I may have also put on my status today something like, I don't know, it was cryptic. Real comics don't freak out when you call them a twink. You know, and then I got blocked. But I did invite him to defend himself. Why we can't just talk? But I'm beneath him, and he will not talk to me.
He had this thing yesterday when Andrew Polk told him I don't know what he said. It was something derogative. And he made a derogative term to Andrew Polk after he introed him derogative, like Andrew Polk is a twink. Well, that... I mean, not exactly.
That was the story. That's how you got banned from Andrew, next door. Right?
That's what you should have said. Andrew Polk is a twink. I would have just said it blatantly. He went out about it in a more... It made me laugh. I was like, hey, that motherfucker is a twink. Actually, he's an otter because otters are hairy twinks. He's hairy. You'd be an otter also.
I would be a twink.
Otters are nice animals.
I don't know. I think I'm too old to be a twink. I'm 29. That's why I wasn't in my underwear the other night.
You'd be an old twink. You'd be an old twink.
No, I think... Listen.
You're not a desirable.
23 years old. 24. I spelled out the math. Okay? I aged out of being a twink. I wasn't invited to do comedy in my underwear.
As long as you look young. He didn't invite a lot of people to do comedy in underwear. I imagine Byron wears tidy whities.
I do not wear tidy whities.
You don't wear tidy whities?
How old are you, Byron? How old are you?
I'm 24.
Okay.
You wear tidy whities.
Were you asked? Were you asked?
Oh, no, you got tidy whities on right now.
No, I was not.
That's weird. It's weird, Byron. I don't know what's going on.
Fonzie Caron. What were you saying just now?
I said, I feel like when I did comedy in L.A., for the year and a half I actually kind of was doing comedy, it was so much more tight-knit. If you were a comic, you were accepted among all the other comics. It didn't matter if you just started doing it or if you weren't even funny, you were still a comic and they were welcomed you with open arms. feel like the New Orleans comedy scene, it's so new, they still don't know exactly what they have or what to do with it. So if you're not a best friend or been doing it for years, you're kind of shunned.
But what about if you get a lot of laughs?
This is an interesting point that I brought up to my friend earlier, is if you get a lot of laughs and you are somebody they've never really seen or been around a lot, it's even more of they kind of come at you with a little more disdain, maybe, at least in my experience. I don't know if that's how I care of myself or it's how things have kind of gone for me, but it's just I've noticed that I've made some friends of comedy in New Orleans, but as far as a whole, some of the comedians have been a little standoffish.
We just met.
We did just meet. And we know, like I said, I was telling him, it was nice to be able to sit down, and we just had to start to have a conversation. You allowed me to sit down, you allowed me to drink with you guys, which was, this is the first time I've sat down and talked comedy with New Orleans comedians in the year that I've been doing it.
What's your experience normally?
Normally, like where? Like other places?
Why is this the first time?
Because every time I try to, everyone seems to box you out.
Because some people are egomaniacs and they can't really take jokes.
Which is unbelievable to me because it's comedy. You got it?
What?
It's comedy. Yeah, I don't feel like that goes without saying. You know, if you get on stage and think that you're above everybody else, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. You get on stage to be funny. You get on stage because there's no holds barred. Everything is... Okay, but now, off the record, can we talk?
You've gone dark side, boo. I like it.
Well, I'm
like
a dark bitch. I just hide it pretty well.
I like your joke writing.
I mean, you're so fucking brilliant. The morph into a mustache with a beanie texting about fucking...
Vegan meals from
obscure locations and a music venue or something. I'm just like, what the fuck? That was brilliant.
Boo, have you experienced any similar situations where you've felt a little ostracized or outside a circle that for unnecessarily?
No, it's every fucking day.
What do you mean?
I mean that I am clearly outside of the comedy circle. First of all, I'm very different anyway, and that suits me fine. Secondly, I'm so happy to meet you because you're a different person, and let's all play well and say nice things to each other and encourage each other, and there's just like so very little of that, and it gets on my nerves, so I'm down to a polite hello with most people.
Betty Boo, we're nice to each other. Am I nice to people off stage?
Yeah, you're a real motherfucker. You talk to people. You don't dismiss them. You ask them questions. I respect the fact that you can not only take a joke, you make a joke. But you're not a what do I want to say, an elitist? Do I want to say an overgrown cliquey high schooler? Maybe that would be what I'm looking for.
So I'm not that, but there's a lot of that going on.
There's an awful lot of that going on. And it's a damn shame. You know, I don't like it. Not a lot I can do about it. I want to enjoy... Good night, guys! I want to be able to enjoy everyone. You know, and I want to think that... Maybe I'm very naive, but I thought, wow, when I started this a few years ago, won't it be fun to make some new friends in comedy, and we'll enjoy each other, and we'll support each other, and... You know, go team comedy, and it just doesn't seem to be like that. I'm not saying you need to extend anything overly special towards me and all of that. I'm just saying I don't understand why, if I do a good job, you don't ask me to come back more than once. If I get a regular amount of validation from my audience, why wouldn't you ask me to come and be a part of your thing? But I'm a really nice person. I'll talk to everybody. I'm going to enjoy the company of most people. But if you're an asshole, you're an asshole. And I call a spade, and I just, like, have a nice day someplace else. I don't need to kiss your ass. I don't need to network with da-da-da. Why should it have to be like that? Life is this way. But when you clearly see what's happening, you can make different choices. You can choose to create a different environment.
You're in there, Iffy, on the wall of the way. I'm joined by... Iffy, I saw this interesting Facebook message you had today. It's about your roast battle ideals, like people that you want to see roast battle, you know?
Yeah, I mean, my thing is like, I think even before I even started doing comedy, my favorite thing about comedy is just seeing two comics that have a difference with each other, or hate, or just go at it and roast. I think it's like the perfect way for comics to like let out their anger. And I think it's the main reason a lot of people, even though they hated each other at one point, are friends now, because they just let it out and then, like, you know, probably made each other laugh a little bit and then called it a day, you know?
Yeah. Have you ever talked shit on some MCs during a comedy show?
I mean, usually if they're like dropping shit or something, I'll light their ass on fire. And then, I don't know, like, it all depends. It's like a case, like, it, like sometimes they love it, sometimes they're like, nah, you know, it's I don't know, it's different.
How do boxers settle arguments?
Huh?
Like, if you're a boxer, you know, or an MMA fighter, how do you settle your argument?
Oh, yeah, you hop in the ring and you do it, you know? I think that's why, like, you know, L.A. right now, we have roast battles where comics just roast each other. You know, sometimes, you know, some comics will set it up with comics they don't like, and it's just, you know, that's the comedian way to, like, settle your differences in a roast battle. Like, it's funny as fuck.
Right. In Los Angeles, do people get, like, yelled at backstage and, like, egos probably are a huge thing? You know, everyone's fighting for their piece of the pie. Or is it more like, you know, like me and you have a relationship where we're kind of, like, supportive of each other, you know what I mean?
Well, yeah. Like, with the roast battle, they just make comics hug after the roast battle. It's just supportive only because, you know, eventually you guys are probably going to end up in a writing room together, so we all got to settle our differences.
Yeah. You know, I find that here, you know, sometimes people take things, like, super serious. Like, it's like, those aren't jokes to them. They're, like, fighting words, you know?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. I see what you're getting at.
All right, buddy. You know, I think a roast battle is a great way to settle things, you know? All at once, you versus me. And the thing is, a reputation can't help you in a roast battle. You know what'll help you? Writing jokes, you know? I think that's what I'm good at.
All right, then. Let's see that roast battle there.
All right. Iffy Nwadaway, you're a very wise man.
All right.
You've seen people handle their business on Sunset, right?
Yeah, I'm going next week too, so I'm excited. I love me some roast battle.
Roast battle, comedy store. I'm trying to put the like sister organization together down in New Orleans, you know.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
People are taking this personally, you know. I'm trying to communicate as artists, but you know, some artists like have reputations that are like more important than like jokes, you know.
Do you know who fucking runs that mic, dude?
I know who runs.
What? Wait. But do you respect him?
I respect him.
How do you show it? How do you show it? Do you show it enough? Are you under mind control?
Not that I'm aware of.
Have you ever heard this? There's like an incantation I heard once or twice. It was, "We are your comedy gods. We are funnier than you." Have you ever heard this incantation said before?
No, I have not. But I'll give you an example. There was an open mic that was run at 12 Mile a few weeks ago, and Julie and Molly, who I really respect, were out of town, and Lane Lognon, who's a very funny guy, was hosting the show, and Lane was wearing this Ferrari jacket for the past 2 months, and like he was hosting the show, and so I decided to open with, if anybody wants to see Lane's Ferrari, it's parked outside. You know, and Lane doesn't own a Ferrari. I mean, he's doing comedy in New Orleans. Lane doesn't own a Ferrari. Lane laughed whenever I made that joke, and then he got up on stage and made a joke about me, about a joke that I did on stage, and it was cool. I had no problems with it. Lane had no problems with it. Me and him still...
Wait, did he disrespect you?
I mean...
Were you disrespected?
I wasn't disrespected. I didn't feel disrespected. Well, I made a joke about... how my wife likes giving out gifts for Christmas and removing the instructions, and like I'm so glad she's not like that about eating her pussy because it would make it really difficult. But Lane got up on stage after that and piggybacked on that and said he did an Aaron Neville impression. Was like, Jason Dormer, he likes to eat his
his wife's pussy. He likes eating that pussy, like an Aaron Neville impression. I don't do it. Lane does it really well. But like,
he's talking about your wife's vagina.
My wife was there.
She must have been traumatized.
She smirked and laughed.
What?
She smirked and laughed. I laughed because I thought it was hilarious that he was doing an Aaron Neville impression talking about eating my wife's
pussy. Of your wife.
But it's about the banter. It's like the banter between us, like talking, like we're obviously like tradesmen and we're talking shop to each other through being up on stage and telling jokes, trying to elicit like laughs from the audience. And if he says something that is funny and works and it's about me, then fucking so be it. Like, I'm not offended by that at all.
We are now watching as our subject. The first layers of mind control are broken. I see color in his eyes for the first time.
Did you hear I got banned from Ohio? Did anyone tell you that or anything like that?
Yeah, he told me a few times.
What is that for? I forget. Like, was that because...
I think he called somebody a twink. If that's what you got banned for.
Yeah. Maybe a hipster joke or two or something like that. Listen, I don't want to start rumors. I'm not trying to spread rumors in a calculated PR documentary about the time I was banned from the Hi-Ho. That's not what's going on here. And I'm not also plugging the future show, look out for it, Roast Battle.
At this point in the podcast, I'd like to give the fans a little taste of comedy history. You see, there was a show called Tough Crowd. And very famous and very successful, very rich and very lazy joke thief Dennis Leary comes on Tough Crowd, haven't written any jokes, but demanding respect and having a chip on his shoulder, like, I've already done it, I've been to the top, I'm a movie star. Well, you don't write any jokes and you sit across from Greg Giraldo and you start fucking with him, watch what happens. And then you start to see, you separate the real comics from the bullshit Hollywood people who care about their image only and not writing jokes or comedy.
Do you know how short you have to be to have a Napoleon complex in North Korea? Or maybe there's a non-violent way to solve the whole North Korea thing.
Good thinking.
They're asking for what?
There's a non-violent way to solve the problem with the country that we hate that hates us. It's got weapons pointed at us. I don't think so.
No, you're right. Like Russia, for example, that big Russian war. there are approaches. You have to be strong about it, but there are approaches. There are economic benefits that we're giving them in order for them to stop developing their weapons. I mean, I heard recently they agreed to stop building nukes if American women agree to get their nails done at least twice a week. It's just something I read.
That's a good point.
This guy writes so many jokes before the show, it's not even funny. It's unbelievable. He's got a pocket full of them.
That's right. Kind of what we do here, Dennis. Yeah. I'm a comedy writer.
Oh, boy.
You're the guy in school that did all the homework and then asked if there was any more that needed to be done.
Where have I heard that joke before? Oh, yeah, Janine Garofalo said it.
I'm incredibly lazy. I'm a straight C student. I don't know. I have never in my life uttered the phrase, is there going to be extra credit on this? Because I would never, I don't do that. I don't know anything about that.
That was Janine Garofalo's HBO special from 1995, and this Tough Crowd happened in 2003. But let's now see if Greg Giraldo has a comeback.
That's a good point, and if you had tried a little comedy writing, maybe your show would still be on the air.
Oh!
We're more. We're done.
Okay.
We're done. You started it, I'll finish it.
You said nothing.
I'm really well, so you think you can just keep calling me on every joke and I'm not going to hit back a little bit?
Really gonna
look, it was a good show. Look, it was a funny show.
The bottom line is this.
I'm not saying Andrew Polk is a joke thief, okay? That's not. I don't want to start a rumor here. But a rumor did get out that I was recording people and creating this episode, which is I've been doing over the last several days now. And there was a fiery text exchange between myself and Andrew Polk. And then I realized that I already had an actor who could play Andrew Polk really, really good.
Keep asking my friends for inflammatory statements about me? Where are you right now? Kate Mason wasn't backstage. Addie Nahara was. Feel free to ask her for quotes from me being honest with you about being a delusional hack. Who the fuck do you think you are? You can shout Los Angeles all you want, but New Orleans and LA are well connected, and no one knew who the fuck you were or recommended you.
You're right. I'm nobody, and you're a comedy god. You worry about what you're doing, I'll worry about what I'm doing.
Don't fucking talk to my friends about me again, or try to get a mentally handicapped person to read a statement about me.
Not everything in this town is yours. I have friends here too, because I'm only mean to people on stage. I'll talk to my friends on my recording device how I want.
Because so many people care to listen to your podcasts. That's super not petty to reenact an argument. It'll get you really far.
It's called hard work and joke writing. Like when I wrote jokes and you freaked out because you can't take it.
Yeah, actually going on stage and telling jokes that are funny is part of hard work and writing.
Real comics can take a joke, so I'm a nobody, you're a god, you worry about you.
You didn't write any jokes. You were pissed off that I said the audience could listen to your silky smooth golden voices. You're telling me not to worry about myself, and all you're doing is trying to bring me up to my friends and reenact an argument literally no one cares about. I'm not a god. You're just a lunatic who isn't funny.
You ribbed me. I thought it was funny. I ribbed you back so you'd notice and book me. You freaked out. Okay, so don't worry.
If we were friends, or if I liked you, or if it was funny, you can say whatever you want. What you said wasn't a joke, wasn't getting laughs, and was clearly you being upset. The only thing I'm worried about is you bothering my friends. Go have fun trying to take down the almighty tyrant that is me.
I don't want to text anymore. Texting is for coke twinks.
Another classic burn from Los Angeles comedian Eric Hollerbach. Hope to see you soon.
Who gets the light early for bombing at an open mic? You got angry because I burned you. Hey, Yvonne, what's going on?
Hi, Eric. How are you?
Good. So I wanted to call you just to verify some facts, you know. I did a show at the Twist of Lime this past Saturday, and someone retweeted under the pseudonym Gene Shorts, "This is going to be a horrible show," you know?
Well, that's not very nice.
Yeah, I think Gene Shorts is an account run by Andrew Polk. You know, he likes to, like, tear down other people's stuff, you know, instead of promoting his own. Have you ever come across this?
Someone named Gene Shorts has twice, there have been a couple of occasions where someone named Gene Shorts has attacked me under that alias, but I've heard that it's both Andrew Polk and Joe Pettis, like, they take turns.
Yeah.
So I've never met either of those people, so I don't know the motivation for attacking a stranger, but, you know, it is what it is.
That's what some people do behind the guise of a pseudonym, you know, when they don't got the balls to, like, you know, stand behind their own words or something. But I remember you had a comedy festival, and it was...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
You had a comedy festival, and it had a cool poster, you know, you're trying to promote NOLA comedy, New Orleans comedy out here. And, you know, someone made a parody poster of your festival?
Yes, I didn't have a festival for... Gosh, I think this will be the ninth year that I'm doing a festival, and we bring in industry to scout. We bring in headliners. So, I mean, as far as industry goes, we've brought in everybody. People from Mosaic Media have come in. APA has come in multiple times. Principato Young. So, I mean, really good industry comes in. And, you know, I bring in people to headline. Repeatedly had a few of those guys from the Tim and Eric Awesome Show. So, let's see, not this year, but last year, there was a parody poster done of it that I got wind of, unfortunately, and it was really vicious.
Yeah. What do you think motivates some people, instead of to promote their own stuff, to, like, go after people, any of their competition online, when instead of going after competition, we could just do each other's shows and be friendly? What's with this, like...
I don't understand it, Eric. I gotta be honest with you. That's very much unfortunately, it's been a very much a small-minded New Orleans thing. It's weird. I've been doing comedy now for 23 years, I think. Wait, how old am I? Yeah, 24 years. I started at Second City when I was kid, I've never seen anything like it. I've lived in Chicago. I've lived in Los Angeles. I've worked in the film industry. I've never seen anything like it. And it's really vicious. And, you know, it's often really just grudges from little nothing, you know. Like, I have friends who, one of my dear friends writes for Key & Peele. I don't understand what the point is, you know. And it's often these little weird grudges that I don't know where they come from. Apparently, somebody got mad at me at one point because I made a joke at his expense, because I'm a comedian, you know what I mean? I joke around, but he was like trashing my room, and so I was like, you know, it's better than your room, which is a pretty mild joke, I think, but that kid has like boycotted the club now for years. I don't know if he's still in town, but you know, it's just this nonsense of this incredible ego that I don't get it. I don't know. I've never been around that. I have a more dry sense of humor, so it's like, okay. But the idea that you would attack somebody's festival that they're doing, that's bringing in industry to see comics, is pretty bizarre to me. And what's worse about it, to me, is the whole idea of they used homophobic slurs on their parody poster. To me, that's just really despicable. I don't think that's okay at all. So, the idea that you're going to leave my sponsors on my poster and then use homophobic slurs is pretty low. And again, I've never met these people. I've invited them to come. I own a bar and invited them to come have a beer and talk to me. You know, I'm sure if you met me, maybe you could find some things to dislike about me. But when you don't know somebody, that's just bizarre behavior, in my opinion.
So yes, I would like to, right now, I'm recording this, I'd like to invite Andrew Polk, Joe Cardozzi, as I have several times before, to be on my podcast, or, you know, roast battle me, you know, at the show September 20th. You got beef with me, I thought you were a comic, how about you get on stage and, but it's like, if you say, oh, my room is better than yours, if you call him a hipster or a twink, he freaks out, and it's like, you know, he does everything he can through pseudonyms on social media. And I'm like you, I've done comedy in New York, I've done comedy in LA. Nobody would do any of this stuff. Everyone has their own shows that they're trying to promote. That's it, you know?
I'll tell you this, you know, they attacked my festival again last year, and some of my friends who were in town, I can tell you the initial response was, who is this guy? I'm going to call all my friends and tell them not to work with him. It's pretty self-sabotaging. I mean, and that's not to say that they're not going to, you know, have some successes, but, you know, when you're opening for Louis C.K. and you know that I have APA come to my festival, maybe it's not a great idea to parody my poster, you know? I mean, APA calls me regularly. They called me this year and said, hey, do you want some industry? We got a friend who wants to come. And I was like, hell yeah. It's just not, it's just a bad idea. I don't get it. Is the payoff like a high five from your buddies? Because, okay, that seems like a poor payoff. Is the payoff making me look bad? I mean, maybe I look bad to their friends who's never met me, but I'm not sure that, it's just a really bad idea. Like, one of the guys that they insulted last year regularly works for Robert Smigel. Who would not, what comedian do you know does not want to work for Robert Smigel? So he's attacking one of my dear friends who works for Robert Smigel, works on SNL, has been on the Dana Carvey show, is good buddies with Colbert and Colbert. I don't get it. I don't get where the benefit of that is. But, you know, and then my friends are like, wow, who are these jerks? Like, honestly, I've never met them. So, it's a shame, but I guess so much vote. I don't know. I'm sure there'll be a ton of backlash from this, you know, like me even talking, and it's difficult because I try really hard to just do my own thing. They've attacked me for not showing up to their open mics. You know, Eric, I have a whole other life, you know, besides owning a bar and owning a club. I have a family, and that's really my first priority. So the idea that I'm supposed to go out somehow and scout every open mic, I can't do it. You know, if they want to apply to the festival, I'm happy to look at their stuff. If they don't want to, that's certainly their business, you know. I don't really get it,
But do you know who the fuck Andrew Polk is? He opened for Louis C.K. once a year and a half ago. So how dare you contradict anything he would possibly say? I can't believe...
Right.
This is very controversial, Yvonne.
I don't know. I don't know.
Speaking of Key and Peele...
The truth of the matter is, I think one of the insults is I'm, out of touch, and it's true. If I don't already know you in the comedy world, I'm pretty out of touch. I have to get friends on a committee to tell me who people are. I turned down Amy Schumer. That's what a moron I am. Amy Schumer's manager called me and said, hey, can she come and do your club? And I was like, I don't know who she is. She's not big enough. Let's wait till... He was like, you know, she's doing this Charlie Sheen thing. But I suggested we wait till after that was over. Clearly... Who's stupid? Me, right? It's really easy to attack me. If I don't already know you from the 23 years I've been doing comedy, then I probably don't know you. And people's managers and agents have to say, they're really great. Look them up. And then I do, right?
Right.
So, as far as Louis C.K. is, I don't know much about Louis C.K. I'm not, in that circle. I can tell you anything you want to know about any improviser. Amy Poehler, Tim Fay, Neil Sloan, Matt Walsh, anybody at UCB, anybody at I.O. You know, I don't know anything about Louis C.K. I guess I'm not sure that Louis C.K. would be excited about a comedian attacking other comedians, but maybe he would. I don't know.
Well, I just don't like the method.
It doesn't seem like something to me that is beneficial to a big comedian to associate with themselves with someone who uses homophobic slurs to attack a comedy venue. In my experience, that would not be considered cool by any comedian, or awesome, or funny. They would be like, hey, you better quit doing that, dude. Anybody who I know would say, what are you doing? But that's just me. I don't know. Maybe they know more than me. I've been doing comedy a long time. Maybe they know more than me. The other thing that is really concerning to me is there's a local comedian who, in recent years, tried to commit suicide. And apparently one of those guys was kind of trolling around the internet and suggested that this kid commit suicide. Now, they said it to me. I'm pretty mentally stable. I don't have any diagnosis of mental illness. But saying that to someone who they don't realize has already tried to take their own life is really irresponsible and dangerous and not okay. I don't see the benefit of that. Why you would have to be so vitriolic to people? But again, maybe there's some other comedy world that exists that I don't know about where people are rewarded for being as horrible as they can possibly be. I don't know that world. And as I said, I have comedy agents come down every single year. Not one of them has ever said, what works really well? Insulting other comics. They've never said that. They're always people have still to this day have connections that they made 7 years ago at NoCal, and they're like, oh, it's so cool. I'm still friends with X, Y, and Z. To me, that's how comedy works. People are friendly with other people, and things happen. Now, certainly, you don't have to work with everybody. I don't need to work with those guys, but the fact that you're just going to attack a random stranger on the internet, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, and speaking of insulting other comics, we got September 20th and October 18th, Sunday Roast Battle at the La Nuit. That's the venue. You got stuff to say to each other, say it from face to face, belly to belly, make fun of each other as hard as possible, and then shake hands and be friendly with each other off stage. I always build the show up like it's a blood sport, but that's just me talking as a carny. But, really, everyone who does my show has a great time. We all leave friends. It's possible to all be cool with each other and make fun of each other.
What's not cool is doing it under a pseudonym on Facebook and just not even writing a joke, just saying, this will be horrible. I don't understand why any, you know what I mean? Okay, well, how about you, if you're funnier than me, if I suck, then how about you show up to the roast battle?
And this is what I've never been able to wrap my head around, you know, this idea of, like, they want to parody the poster from a festival or boycott the festival. No joke, the year that they parodied the festival, Comedy Central was scouting the girl who casts their roasts, was scouting the festival. So, did you hurt me? I mean, I didn't like the parody poster. I it was really offensive, but did you really hurt me by boycotting the festival? No. You know, people got seen. Everybody's all excited about Maggie May. Well, Maggie May met her agent at my festival, I think, 4 years ago. That's still her agent. She just did the Conan O'Brien show. You know, if it's punishing me to not do my festival, then it's a pretty ridiculous punishment because it doesn't punish me. There are people who come from all over the country to do my festival. I was on the board 2 years ago of the Cabo San Lucas Mexico Comedy Festival. Like, you're not really punishing me. You're punishing yourself. And I'm sure that there are high fives going around, but that doesn't really hurt me. You know, if they say I am terrible, I mean, they've never seen me perform, but if they would, you know, think that I'm terrible or a bad comedian, well, okay, that's not hurtful to me. To attack my headliners, who, by the way, were Brandon Walsh, DJ Doug Pound, Bill Cott. I mean, these are working comedians. Like, I'm not sure what the gain is by attacking these guys, you know? These guys are working all the time. What are you attacking them for? You know, it still sucks. It's still not fun, and I'm sure that they would hate if I did the same thing to them, but I'm not going to do that because it's so sophomoric and childish. Randy Lidke, why would you attack those guys? What on earth do you think you're going to gain from that? Those guys are hanging out with the Louis C.K.'s of the world. I'm not. So I guess you can attack me, but you're attacking people who are hanging out with UCK, who are BFFs with Hannibal Buress. I don't know what the end goal is, but it's just not wise.
Let's talk about something positive. We got the new festival coming up this year.
Mm-hmm.
When is that? Yeah. How can people apply to that? How can when is that happening?
The festival is going to be June 20th through the 24th. Applications are probably going up next week in a Google Doc. So, Lavelle Kelly Stones has come on board to handle everything with the festival. She's like co-producing the festival this year, which is exciting. A comedy agent from Mosaic Media is already committed to coming, so that's exciting. Yeah, it'll be cool. So very soon we'll be taking applications. We're doing something different this year where we have a big group of comedy sports improvisers coming down from all over the world, Berlin, Manchester, LA, New York, Chicago. They're all going to come and kind of like compete, doing this kind of fun thing, and that'll be kind of cool. So that'll be happening June 20th through the 24th. We always back it up to Crew Vue. Hopefully it'll go off without a hitch, without a big attack, but, you know, you never know. So, hopefully we'll just be able to do our festival and not get bludgeoned verbally for it, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't know. So that'll be coming up in the next week or so. Kelly Stone and Mikey Swinson have taken over running the theater, so I'm pretty hands-off these days for people who don't like me. I guess they can hang out with different management. I'm super busy doing other stuff with my family, and so that's kind of where we are. I'm working in the film industry when I can, which is lovely for me, and raising a family, so that's kind of where I'm at. So I'd love to have people apply. Even if they've applied before and not gotten in, I'm happy to have them apply again. I do not personally pick the applicants. There's a board that does that. So, you know, again, if they want to apply, you know, I'm not really holding grudges against anybody.
Beautiful. All right, well, I just want to say personally, Yvonne, you know, I've had nothing but good relations with you. You let me come in the theater, you know. So I think you're, you know what you're talking about, and I appreciate you very much.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I'm a jerk as much as anybody else is, you know. I have a dry sense of humor. I love to make fun of people. But, you know, there's a difference between talking smack or making fun of somebody and being really vicious and really slandering people. I don't know. You know, as I said, I don't even know for sure. I want to go on the record and say this. I don't know with certainty who Jean Shortz is. It's been told to me repeatedly who it is. I don't know with 100% certainty that it was Andrew who did the poster. It's been repeatedly said to me, and he's posted it himself multiple times. He has personally attacked the theater before. I don't know if he's ever been inside of my theater. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a little space uptown, you know. I mean, we've been there since 2003. It's not the Taj Mahal. But I'll tell you, Robin Williams really liked it when he came in town and told me, please don't ever close it. It reminds me of the old Improv in New York. You know, it's a little hole in the wall and what's gotten to be a better neighborhood than it was when we started. So, I would love to move past all the nastiness and move into something that's more zen. I guess we'll see what happens.
I forgot to mention the whole Joe Baskel thing, which was rough. Jonah Baskel was one of my students, and he was a local comedian. And I'm not sure if he did. You know him?
Yeah, a little bit. I met him probably three times at the open mic.
So Jonah was really sick and had been for a very long time. He had muscular dystrophy, and I got booked on a TV show in Atlanta. And I was driving back, and I got the call that he was dying. He had gone into heart failure, and he was not a candidate for a transplant. So it was awful. And I went to the hospital. You know, a friend of ours said, you need to get to the hospital right away because they're going to take him off life support. So I went. And they decided not to take him. His family decided not to take him off life support that day. So I came home, and you know, it's a busy time. And I thought, I really need to post this. I really need to get going with this festival. I you know, my laziness can sometimes get the best of me. So I put it up on a comics. What do you call it? Like, you know, like a meetup group. When I got back from the hospital, and Jean Shortz immediately started attacking me about the festival, and I said, you know, can you just lay off? Like, a friend of mine's in the hospital dying, can you just lay off? And the person posing as Jean Shortz was horrible, and said, I hope your dead friend didn't know you very well. So that was just like the biggest void in human decency that I think I've ever seen. Not sure what that was for. I later heard that the person posing admitted to it and kind of felt bad, but you know, I think I only felt bad because everybody loved Jonah. Nobody didn't love Jonah. There was nothing not to love about that kid.
Yeah, so, he's in like an electric wheelchair, but we set up a ramp for him so he could get up there and he would do stand-up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he was a very, very dear friend of mine, and And that was just, to me, that was like the epitome of a lack of human decency. Okay? Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, thanks, Yvonne.
Yeah, it's my situation is similar to Betty. I'm a little older, you know. I don't dress like I'm too old to be a hipster, so that's not an option. And I kind of got the same vibe when I came around, you know. You're not kind of one of us. Even before they saw me do anything, any jokes, any comedy whatsoever, it wasn't about the comedy. It was about the individual, you know, so the way they presented themselves. But, you know, I'm easygoing and confident about my work ethic and really give a shit. But if you get a younger guy who comes around and somebody who's really not sure with themselves and established, they could really discourage somebody, you know. It's somebody who could be great one day, you know. So, yeah, the scene was not very welcoming is what I'm saying overall. But some the people that were great were really great.
You know, you've never been offended?
Never been offended. I think I'd get my feelings hurt.
Yeah.
If, like, you know, someone said something about, like,
When
I'm shitty.
When somebody yells at me after I bust their balls on stage and call me not funny, it fires me up a little bit. There's another podcast I was on in Los Angeles. This guy called Josh Nichols fired me up because he said I wasn't funny. When, if you listen to the episode of me on that episode, he's laughing at my shit the entire episode.
Yeah.
So, and then he says I'm not funny. Why don't you listen to the tape?
Do like, in the collection of my bragging, one of them was clogging a toilet. I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's more bragging.
Because it's this hyperbole of, oh, I clogged an industrial, you know.
That's not hyperbole because it's not hyperbole. Mm. It's fact.
Right.
It happened. I'm not proud of it. I'm not proud of clogging toilets.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's like, I got the biggest shit. You got delusions of grandeur about your shit, bro. And if I destroy and I laugh and I get laughs, you can't take that away from me because you got a tweed sweater and you run two fucking hipster mics, you cocksucker. Look, we're going to do, I have a lot of material
about this.
Well,
I'm glad I'm on this podcast, this particular one.
I'm burning bridges right now. I didn't warn
and
you.
And you're barely bringing me down with you.
What's going on? I have a humongous ego, but at the moment, I'm a struggling stand-up open micer who's trying to get respect in this world. I know my place. I know I'm a peon. I know I'm nothing. I know if I died yesterday or tomorrow or in the future in the past, the New Orleans comedy scene would not even notice that I didn't show up to open mics anymore. I'm a nothing.
That actually
right
happened
now.
Last week. I hadn't been showing up for a couple weeks, and like, one of my closest friends in stand-up, I hadn't seen him in a couple weeks, and I showed up, and he was like, I thought you died. And I was like, you could have texted me. And he was just like, well, you would have been dead.
He's not the average white person, though, because he's hated by other white people. Poor white guy. Come all the way here from California. All the way from California. Just to be hated by other white people. And now he's back at the reject room with all the motherfuckers who everybody else hates. Don't worry, he's funny. And he has an awesome fucking name. It sounds kind of Jewish, but it also sounds like a pop song. One more round of applause for Eric Hollaback, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm really honest right now. I'm like an asshole to everybody. I'm burning bridges left, right, and center.
Might as well piss on it, right?
Someone raised my Facebook feed.
I just saw that earlier. It's funny.
Because that's how he said dumb shit like that. He said dumb shit like that.
He's a twink.
Who's the twink?
Who's the twink?
Who started High Hope?
Who started
Us.
High Hope?
I did. Andrew Pope stole it because he's the bastard.
No, he didn't steal it. But who was running it originally? Who was running
Jason,
it?
Mark,
the bastard?
Some shit on people. Oh, if you did some dumb shit like go over your time and you knew you shouldn't be going over your time.
Right.
I'll get at you. But I'll get at you after I get you off the fucking stage by cutting the music up and doing some shit to get you off.
You ever, did anyone like fuck with you on the intro? Like,
you know, interview. I once talked about Jackie's
Nobody's
gap.
Nobody's smart enough to
I
fuck with me.
I once talked about Jackie's gap for minutes. I talked about Jackie's gap. I made him
I'm
almost
black
cry.
Black comedian in New Orleans, and unfortunately, the white comedians think all black people are like all black people they see on Men's Society.
Whoa, now you're stereotyping. Now you're stereotyping.
I'm wearing a stereotype like a pair of jeans.
Somebody give me a light. We are in the South, though. We are in the South.
No, real shit, though. That's just the
history. Man, those white motherfuckers are scared of Andrew Pope.
That's a light history.
Two and a half shows.
Look. All right, thanks, Jackie. What's up, Tom?
You shouldn't have got that offended of being called a twink. In this day and age, you shouldn't be gay. I mean, if I call you gay, I call my niggas gay all the time.
We always get, because, we go at each other like it ain't shit. You see, Kenny ain't crying or fucking, he ain't fucking
in
like,
this
fuck
day
y'all,
and age,
y'all
when you get
no
that
more?
Offended of being called gay, you probably are deep in the closet. You probably in the chest.
Yeah, he's in like the bunker, DEFCON 6 in the closet, you know what I mean?
Oh.
He's like,
man, this is awesome shit. I like how this is always, I knew that eventually this would come to a head.
You just saw the clashing of egos happening?
Yes.
In slow motion?
Like, you know how it's high school, and it's like, man, I wonder what's going to happen at the end for the senior year, for senior graduation. Who's going to come out to be gay? You know, who's going to come out this? Who's going to be pregnant first? You know, you're waiting on that shit to happen, and it seems like, ooh, graduation's coming. This is exciting. It's exciting. I like it. I like it.
All I know is this shit was wrong, but I don't have no personal qualms for Andrew Pope.
You wearing that scarf? You wearing the fuck out that scarf, dude?
I got it from Old Navy.
Now, you were in the front row?
Yeah, I was right there in the front. I was standing next.
Did you hear any of what happened from behind the curtain?
I didn't hear.
It got a little loud.
No, I didn't. Did it? I was standing right. I didn't hear anything.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even really notice.
It was backstage, though.
Did Andrew tell you something?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't notice when he went back there. I didn't notice that he was back there, but I noticed that you were back there for a very long time. I was waiting for you to come out.
I know. Well, what I was doing was I was looking at my Zoom, and I was really confused. My hands were shaking. I had, like, adrenaline. I knew some shit went down, and I was obsessed with how long did I just do? How long did I just
do?
Yeah. I was trying to turn it on to hit the play button to see how long the audio file was.
Right. I was so waiting. I was like, what the fuck is he doing back there? Why is he taking so long? I was like, man, fuck this. I'm about to go outside. And I was like, John, did you see what the fuck just happened? He's like, no, what happened? I was like, man, what you call it? Got a bitch fit. I was like, whoa. Like, I didn't know he was for real, son.
Wow. It was very crazy.
No, I'm just trying to say, like, I'm nice to everybody off stage. On stage, I'm nice to everybody.
I don't know what his motive behind
doing
that.
On stage, I talk shit. On stage, I talk shit on everybody. I called Ben Hoffman a twink. I make fun of everybody on stage. Off stage, I'm nice to everybody.
Well, that could be what it might be right there. I mean, I guess everybody down here is a little more soft-hearted?
No. You know what Benjamin Hoffman did? Well, I can't really mention his name. He told me to leave him out of it. But I did get a slap on the back, and he said that was really funny.
Yeah, that's it. That's Ben. That's Ben.
Period.
Ben seems like he would do something like that because Ben's that type of guy. What is it up with this twink thing that everybody hates to be called a twink? I think some people
have body dysmorphia where they only care about their like avatar. They only care what they look like. They wear like really cool clothes and like Technicolor dream coats and cool skinny jeans and like, you know, they care about their appearance, not you know, more than like, you know, I don't care how I look. I want to be funny. I don't care if I look like a fucking idiot. I don't care about my appearance, obviously. What I care about is being funny on stage. Because I'm a fucking comic. I don't got time to go shopping for little girly shoes. What I do to be like, oh, this will this steam up these glasses if I have this espresso?
The following audio is from Metal Hand of God, Mohawk Podcast, episode 200, responding to Gene Shorts retweeting their comedy show in Metairie at a Twist and Lime that I was on, saying simply, this show is going to be horrible.
Sunday, I got a message from Wayne involving a comedian who was on one of our previous comedy shows, basically going on Facebook and posting a link to the show that's going to be this Saturday, which normally would be a good thing. It would be like, oh, okay, thanks. Thanks for sharing. Except for this comedian used a troll account, a fake account with a fake name, and it doesn't even have his face on it, so no one knows it's him. And basically
very
saying,
creative, by the way. Very creative.
Right, right. So this guy basically, he posts a link to it and then says, hey, this show will suck. You should go see how bad it sucks. So this guy bashed our show, and Wayne sent me a message telling me about it. And I won't lie, I got very upset. I was traveling that day, and there was really nothing I could do about it. I mentioned many times that Wayne and I don't get anything from these shows. 9 times out of 10, we don't take a cut. You know, and we've only done like a dozen of these shows, so do the math. And the few times we have taken a cut, it's been like $5 a piece. You know, we try to give all our money to the talent. We don't get anything from it other than trying to help build a comedy scene, you know, outside of just Central New Orleans. And meeting very talented, very funny people, which I'm happy to do.
Sure.
So it's especially hurtful, you know, like, but whatever. I've also, by the way, just want to mention really quick, I've been told that this doesn't have anything to do with us specifically, that it's another comedian, Eric Hollerback, is on the show, and there are other people besides Eric on it. So I'll just take it as being you just generally don't like any of us. So whatever, that's fine. I guess goal was to upset people and rile us up, you know, from a very cowardly position of not even using his real name or just a position of pretending to be someone else. Congratulations, you managed to upset me for an hour. And then I moved on with my life. People who spend their lives tearing things apart and, you know, going there and, like, bashing other people's creative endeavors rather than focusing on their own, who's the loser there?
Where you at, Andrew Polk? You keep talking shit under fucking pseudonames on my shows, saying I'm gonna have a horrible show. All this passive-aggressive Facebook nonsense. Well, this is my name, Eric Hollerback, and I'm telling you right now, I will be at the Launay Comedy Theater, 920. You know, I called you a twink once, I called you a hipster once, you freaked out, you ran off the stage crying, having a little twink fit. Well, maybe that's your trigger word or some shit, but there's no trigger words at the roast battle, bitch. Yo, you think you're funnier than me? You think I suck? Show me I suck, bitch. Why don't you get on the stage at the Launay, September 20th of 2015, and how about we roast battle? This is where delusion of some overprivileged asshole who's only fucking funny and only brave under pseudonyms on Twitter and calls himself a fucking comedian. You don't got the spirit animal of what a comic is. I think you're a bully. I think you're a coward. And you're like, oh, why don't you show up somewhere? Why don't you show up somewhere? Why don't you show up to the Launay Theater September 20th at 8 o'clock of 2015? Let's be comics. Let's do each other's shows. And I'll even pay you $5 for the brutal two-round beating I'm going to distribute to you, sir. I know what it is to be a comic. I don't go under pseudonyms on fucking Twitter. I go, hey, bitch, I'll be at this theater. Let's make money. That reminds me to plug a show. Sunday Roast Battle at the Launay, hosted by yours truly. You can get tickets on Groupon for $4, $5 at the door. I got 2 more dates. September 20th. You know, a lot of things cooking there. I got Mikey Swenson going up against Jason Dormandy. Mikhail Al-Baghdadi, he's going to face his homie Christian Rodriguez. I'm going to say hi to those people this Tuesday at the House of Blues. Shout out to Liam Blanda. He's a cool dude. Anyway, listen, have you ever thought of trying Uber? Uber's a pretty good service. Uber. It's pretty great. Hey, you want to start with $20 free for being a new rider? $20 gift card if you type in the promo code XDM2MUE.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following audio is a little snippet of J. Alfred Potter versus Kyle Smith at my show Sunday Roast Battle at the Launay. This took place August 16th, 2015. Just for the people who don't know, J. Alfred Potter has one leg and Kyle Smith is very, very short. All right, let's listen.
Hi, Smith. Check out her father. Wow, a lot of cosplay going on today.
I see it, right?
Just look at that shit. Thundercats.
Fucking cosplay. Okay.
Represent.
All right, we got it.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. I have no idea what's going to happen. Nobody does. Here we go. J. Alfred Potter. You're going first.
I'm going first.
You're going first.
Of course
first.
You gotta
you're
go first.
My left.
It's white privilege, that's why.
White privilege.
Because there's a vet on the stage, goddammit.
Every night is white privilege night everywhere. 3, 2, 1, battle.
I'm not saying Kyle Smith is short, but I am saying that he is always picked after me when we play basketball. And he's changed a lot about me. Now I actually am in favor of abortion. And his mother and I agree. Like, I'm comfortable making racist jokes about Kyle because at one point my family owned his.
Shots fired.
It's all right, Kyle. I'd let you tell jokes in the house. It's fine. The wrong side of the Shire. Gandalf could have just given him the ring and it would have disappeared much easier.
Hi, that is round number one! Holy shit! Holy shit! Shots fired! Kyle Smith! Here we go. Here's your rebuttal. 3, 2, 1, go!
Fuck your parking spot. Gollum reincarnating this motherfucker. Goddamn, you look like a Spartan baby that got rejected twice. You one amputation away from being Lieutenant Dan in the next year's cosplay. Just let me. Hey, man, we got Caitlyn Jenner in 6 years. I told her knees was gonna go first. Bitch, I heard you lost that leg trying to do the Ken Blaze, man. You lost that leg trying to escape a rapist. Now if they catch your ass, then you might as well give them all of the ass, son. Hey, you look like your face got hit with a pot of grits. A hot pot of grits. Hey, he looked like the other member of the ambiguously gay duo. This thing is 3 diseases away from autism. Fuck
that. Okay. That's round number one in the books. I'm gonna go to the expert on everything shark and lion related, Mohammed from Dubai,
boom.
J. Alfred Potter.
I like that.
Points like this.
Menaces.
Oh. Like rings that have been in different prostitute pussies. That one. That one. Make it happen. All right. Wow. How are we going to recover from that? This is round number two. J. Alfred Potter. Here we go. 3, 2, 1, bat.
I got Kyle Smith involved in the local burlesque scene, and it was the best thing I've ever done. He gets so much money getting paid to put his clothes on. I don't know how that didn't work. I've actually convinced Kyle Smith is not 3 ferrets on meth in a skin suit for 5 to 1 ounce. He's the only comedian I know who packs 40 minutes of material into a 10-minute set, and like his sex life, he still leaves audiences unsatisfied. If acceptable comedy shows were one performer, it would be Kyle Smith. If you follow accessible comedy, you know that's hilarious. What else? You know what? That's it. That's all I can say.
What?
Wow. He left 10 minutes.
It's my turn.
3, 2, 1, battle.
Boom. Hey, his comedy is about as useless as his legs, right? Okay, boom. Hey, he preparing himself to play the RoboCop role so he can legally shoot black heads in the face. Hey, give it up to the man that always gotta sit down and take a pee.
Yeah. look like you had a bad case of the rickets. Hey, I'm pretty much you're like Fabio's adult cum stain. Like if you kept growing, Fabio from, hey, I can't believe it's not butter. That guy, boom, now we're with it, right? Adult cum stain, this is all right. Hey, you look like you suck dick for insulin shots. Have you ever walked regular? Hey, Nick, how, do you get your shoes half off? Everybody's asking. Hey, you look like if slavery was a verse and you tried to run away a few times. You know what happened to Kunta. They took Kunta's ankles, then they took that fucking leg, and then they just mashed the other one, motherfucker. You really think you gonna try to rip me? Nigga, we gonna keep going. God damn it.
Time.
I'm gonna go to my text for academic reasons. Lyle Smith!
Kyle Smith took round number two. How you feeling, Mikey?
Feeling good.
Feeling good?
Feeling good.
It's funny, being a comedian is the only place that you, I like envy the fact that you have one leg so you can say some racist shit.
If fucking Kramer from Seinfeld had one leg, he would have got away with it. Here's round number three. This is anyone's game at this point, ladies and gentlemen. It's the last round in the books. 3, 2, 1, battle!
Kyle Smith is actually one of the best performers in the city, hands down. I'm just glad to be sharing a stage with him. I have nothing more mean to say about him. Except he can say all the disabled jokes about me all the time. He can make fun of my face, being hit with hot grits, whatever. At the end of the day, I'm still white.
He's dropping the mic on the race car. What else do you need? He's never getting pulled over. Look at him. He can drive drunk and snort cocaine. He's not getting tased or shot or nothing. How do you respond? 3, 2, 1, back.
Fuck, you gonna pull an 8 Mile on me just now, goddammit. Fuck, I'm supposed to do about that. Bitch, I'll give you a ride anyway. I'll make sure I pick you up, goddamn. We can go ahead. I'll roll you anywhere you need to go in a wheelchair. I understand that people get their feelings hurt, but you don't seem like you never get stood up, so. I love this guy. He puts me in so many goddamn shows. I played a monkey for this man, okay? A green goddamn monkey.
I didn't book him for that.
He didn't. He didn't. It's true. I took his role. But what? The fuck? If you ain't in a wheelchair, you ain't, I'm just gonna have that role, right? Because. Anyway, shit, that's it,
Eric. All right. Bye. I mean, a winner doesn't even matter if it's called We All Won. So how the fuck do you buy? And what's eyes around you? Who took the battle?
Kyle Smith.
Kyle Smith, ladies and gentlemen. This has been Sunday Roast Battle at the motherfucking Halloween. We're here once a month, every third fucking Sunday. Next week, 9:20. See y'all later. Get home safe. I love y'all. Woo!